We'll talk about the Habs and much, much more. Tony Marinaro joins us from TSN Montreal. You're about to ring the bell, Tony. I appreciate you taking time because I know you're ringing the bell at the Montreal FC game tonight.
Yeah, you're right. I am going to ring the bell. I'm actually here right now at Stade Saputo. It's a huge game in the history of the franchise for the Montreal Impact. It's a knockout game versus arch rival Toronto FC. These two teams had a chance to play each other a couple of days ago, and Montreal actually won the game by scoring two goals in about a minute. But I was actually on the air this morning when the good people from 1642 Montreal, which are a supporters section, a very family-oriented supporters section, that actually went out in the United States and they bought this huge church bell and they donated it to the club. And they had the mayor of Montreal come out for game number one to ring the bell. And I don't know exactly what it is I did to be able to have the honor to ring the bell for game number two, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Oh, and you're a huge soccer guy. So it's not like, you know, they're just picking a guy who's not passionate about soccer. You live and die with it. So I can see why it's fitting. Also, a guy who was pretty excited, as Montrealers are, you know, it's regular season, but the Habs were 9-0 and they lose one game. So I don't think there's many weaknesses in their game by any stretch of the imagination. But I guess let's start with Semin. Are you surprised he gets a night off? Did you see this coming?
No, I'm not surprised whatsoever, to tell you the truth. I mean, I thought he was going to get the night off last game, to be honest. And look, Alex Semin is not the only guy who didn't play well last game in Vancouver, and he's not the only guy who didn't play well against Toronto. Very unfortunately, though, for the Canadians and for him, he's probably the only guy who's had more bad games than he has had good games during this streak. And you know, everyone's trying to find glass half full with Semin. Well, you know, he's trying, and if some of his line mates would actually convert some of the passes that he's giving, Jason, I can tell you, the second effort is not there. The work ethic is not there. I understand now why Carolina said, here's $14 million. Please stay home. We don't want to see you again. You know, this guy here, it's like there's no more professional pride whatsoever. It's not normal that you play a game, you shoot the puck as well as he does, you have goal-scoring ability the way he does, and you look at the stat sheet at the end of the night, and he's got zero shots, one shot, zero shots, one shot, zero shots, zero. Like, there are about 10 players on this team that have more shots on goal than Alexander Semin, and two or three of them are defensemen. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. I can understand if you're unlucky, if you don't produce and stuff like, but if you're not going to shoot the puck, how are you going to score goals? Like, I don't want to see Semin play set up. We know one thing. He doesn't work very hard. He doesn't play with a lot of passion. He doesn't play with a lot of intensity. So all we want, just shoot the puck, and every now and then you're going to score because you have a good shot. He refuses to do that as well. And I think it's a good thing that he's not playing tonight, because he was benched for a couple of shifts and he didn't seize the message. Well, now the rest of the team has the message that no one's blind and the coach is paying attention, and you're going to have to work if you want to stay in the lineup.
Tony, you're absolutely right, but let's be honest here. Semin comes exactly as advertised. He doesn't care. He doesn't worry about playing a well-rounded game, and some nights he looks spectacular. Other nights you don't know he's in the lineup. Luckily for the Habs, they're not paying him much, and
yeah,
right now they've got a bunch of guys who do care, thinking mostly of Pacioretty, Plekanec, Markov, and Subban, who are off to terrific starts, and that's why
yeah,
the Canadians are off to a terrific start.
Well, look, you're absolutely right, but you know the way it is in this game, right? There's always a team that says, I think we can get him going. There's always a general manager who says, you know, I think the city will bring out the best in him. There's always a teammate who says, you know what, maybe I'll be able to light a fire. You refuse to believe that a guy like that at 31 years of age is a Finnish hockey player. So you're always going to take a chance. But at the end of the day, there's one thing that I can tell you. This game is too fast for him. It's way too fast for him. He's trailing the play all the time. The fourth line players on this team skate better than he does. They move better than he does. And he doesn't work very hard in the offseason. You can tell there's not an awful lot of leg strength there. There's not an awful lot of power. And if you're not going to work hard, if you're not going to be able to skate in this game, more now than ever before, it's going to show on the ice, and that's what we're seeing.
Tony Marinaro from TSN 690 joins us. Habs and the Oilers going at it tonight, 7 o'clock start at Rexall. Tony, last year Montreal was 18th in the NHL in goals for. Their goaltending and defense was outstanding. Well, their goaltending and defense is great, but they're leading the league in goals right now with 36. Is this just a hot streak, or what are you seeing that's made their offense improve so drastically, albeit for only 10 games?
Well, one of the things the players joked about last year, and every time you say a joke, there's always a little bit of truth in it. I mean, last year they joked that they would call each other or text each other at night and say, hey, by the way, am I still playing with you tomorrow? There was a lot of line shuffling. There was a lot of line movement. And this year, right from the first game of preseason and training camp, Michel Therrien put lines together and he stuck with them. 10 games in, all the guys are still playing with each other. He has not mixed and matched the lines. He has not changed the lines whatsoever. They've had one lineup pretty much. Tonight with Semin not playing is the only lineup change that they've made all season. So there's been a lot of stability. That's number one. Number two, we want to thank the Edmonton Oilers for Jeff Petrie, because what Petrie's done is he's taken a lot of pressure off of Markov. He's been able to relieve Markov of some minutes. He's brought out the best in Alexei Yemelin. And Petrie provides the Canadiens with a good puck-moving defenseman. So now you have Markov, who can move the puck out of the zone. You got Subban, who can move the puck out of the zone. You got Petrie. You got Nathan Beaulieu, who's coming into his own. Because the Canadiens have defensemen that can move the puck out of the zone in a hurry, because they have stability with their lines, and because they have a fourth line that they can throw out there without being worried about getting scored on, the Canadiens are producing more offensively.
Well, that's a good defensive crew you've got there. I mean, I think you start with that when you talk about Petrie. His biggest problem here was being forced into minutes he couldn't handle without anybody around him. But when you're talking Subban and Markov and the rest of this group, he's playing in the lineup where he should be playing, isn't he?
You're absolutely right. He's insulated. There's not a lot of pressure on Jeff Petrie. You know, Subban and Markov will get the 25 and 23 minutes a game, and he'll be called on for 20, 21 minutes a game. And every now and then, to give the other guys a little bit of a breather. Like last game, it was over in a hurry in Vancouver. The Canadiens realized after 16 minutes they were going to lose that game. So Markov and Subban did not play a lot of hockey, and then they were able to give Petrie a few more minutes. But you're right. He doesn't have to be a number one here. All he has to do is be a consistent, solid number three. And you know what? He's found his home. That's what Jeff Petrie is. If you wanted to make him a two, if you wanted to make him a one, there are nights where he's going to be exposed as a number three. It's good for everybody.
Tony Marinaro joins us. Tony, Dale Weiss might be one of the biggest surprise. You know, when he got traded from Vancouver, people, you know what, he's a fourth-line guy. Dale Weiss is now a legit third-line guy, and I noticed, you know, a shift here or there. He moonlights in their second line.
Well, you're right. And he's a guy that actually last year, every now and then, every 10th, 11th, 12th game, they would take him and they would put him with Max Pacioretty and David Desharnais. And he was a good complement to the line. He obviously, it was a short-term thing. He's able to give a line a little bit of energy. But as a third-line guy, he's really found a home. And sometimes changes, they work wonders for you, right? Here's a guy who couldn't be a fourth-liner with the Vancouver Canucks and John Tortorella. Now, all of a sudden, he finds himself as a third-liner in Montreal. You scratch your head, but got a coach who's got confidence in him. He plays the kind of hockey the Canadians want you to play. He's a responsible player. He's a very disciplined player. I can tell you that if there's a player in the Canadians' locker room that's loved more than Dale Weiss, I haven't met one. So this guy's been embraced by his teammates. They love him, and he and Montreal are made to measure.
Tony, Oiler fans are finally seeing something to cheer about with Neil Yakupov. It doesn't hurt that he's playing with a pretty good player in Connor McDavid. And that's good. I mean, it's been a couple of years. It's taken him a while. Talk a little bit about Alex Galchenyuk and what you're seeing from him there.
Well, Galchenyuk's had an NHL career thus far, better than Yakupov's. But at the same time, it's kind of the same as Yakupov in the sense that he hasn't fully arrived yet. There are growing pains. He finally has an opportunity now to start the season at center. They wanted to bring him in very gradually and very slowly but surely in the National Hockey League, maybe make him play the wing, not give him a lot of responsibility. Now they're playing him at center, but there are some growing pains. And, you know, it's going to take a while for him to come into his own, but every now and then we see the flashes. And the one thing that I can tell you, the major difference, Galchenyuk now and when he broke into the league, this guy's put on I don't know how many pounds of muscle. I would dare to guess probably about 20 pounds of muscle. He's thick. He's solid. He was taking some hits early on in his career. And now not only does he take some, he's able to give some back. And he's a much more sustainable player. Once again, a few growing pains, it's going to come. But Alex Galchenyuk is, and there's no doubt in my mind, seeing the flashes that we've seen, he's going to end up being the player that everyone projected that he would be.
And one last one for you, Tony. Thomas Fleischmann, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, the free agent signing a one-year deal, taking a risk on Semin, and you made it pretty clear your opinion on him. How's Fleischmann looked?
Fleischmann is a good soldier. He's a guy almost like Dale Weiss, almost a carbon copy of Dale Weiss, that, you know what, it didn't work out in some other teams. He came here on a professional tryout, and the Canadians loved what they saw because he was just a responsible player. He played in the preseason like he wanted to stay in Montreal. And let's face it, why wouldn't you want to stay in Montreal? Pretty cool city, pretty good team, backstopped by the best player in the entire National Hockey League. Got a pretty good piece in P.K. Subban, Andre Markov on the fence with Petrie as your number three. Thomas Plekanec, a very, very solid two-way hockey player. Max Pacioretty, one of the elite scorers in the National Hockey League right now. Why wouldn't you want to play in Montreal? So he came in, he put his head down, he went to work, he did all the little things, never cost his team, never put them in any trouble. If you play a 200-foot game for Michel Therrien, you're going to fit in just fine here.
Tony, my man, we appreciate it. I know you'll be watching the Impact game first, and then likely catching the second and third period of the Habs. Enjoy ringing the bell tonight. Should be a raucous crowd.
I hope to ring it very often. Thank you for having me on.